Hi, my name's Madalena Kay, and I'm the host of the podcast AI and You, produced by Europod in partnership with Podium Podcast, Agence France-Presse, and Cora Media. In AI and You, we deal with the history of AI and how it is having an impact on our lives. From social relationships to employment, from climate change to wars and security. Is AI changing our world for the better or the worse? Come and check it out for yourself. Subscribe to AI and You wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Europod. Σήκω χορέψε που κλείβουν σε τσιγάρο.
I moved to Greece 3 years ago and fell in love with the culture, the food, the people, and the way of life. Then this spring, my partner got a job offer in Santorini. I said, what the hell, let's go, let's live the dream. I knew the island was touristy, but when I arrived in Santorini, I actually started to understand what over-tourism means. The views are amazing, but they're crowded with so many bodies and cameras, you can hardly see the sea. You turn around, and there's a line at McDonald's, a football match in the saloon, and Zorba playing in a restaurant full of plastic Greek statues. In the summer, thousands of people come every day, by plane, boat, cruise ship. The tourist industry keeps growing, and the island seems to be suffocating. Being here this summer and fall gave me time to feel Santorini's atmosphere, to experience daily life, and to engage with the community, whether they are teachers, seasonal workers, teenagers, activists, or even politicians. I'm not a local, I'm not a tourist. I'm just here in the middle, trying to understand how Santorini got like this, how it makes people feel, and if there is a way to preserve her. Hyperturismos, a podcast by Mel Julu for the Sfera project, available on Europod, the European podcast platform. Episode 1, A Dream Destination Was Born. But let's start from the beginning. What makes Santorini a dream destination and not just a regular travel destination? The answer seems to be obvious for both locals and visitors I've met.
Santorini is something that you have to see and you have to experience.
The view, it's spectacular. It's not something that you can find easily. It's very unique, all the scenery.
Ia is maybe the most attractive village for its characteristic architecture and the houses on the cliff, also for the sunset, beautiful photos and pictures. Even if you see it 1,000 times every day, you're still impressed by its beauty, and it's understandable that everyone wants to visit Ia, you know, when it comes to Santorini. It's impressive to see the village all hanging and built on the cliffs, and you see the caldera and you see the volcanoes. It's unique, yes.
It's true that there is a certain energy to the island, bubbling underneath the surface, like lava about to blow. Santorini is basically the crater of a volcano that exploded 6,000 years ago and covered the island with 30 meters of lava. Scientists say that the explosion probably could be heard from Scandinavia. And the crater still spits some lava from time to time. When I started looking into the history of Santorini, everyone told me, you have to talk with Lefteris. He knows a lot about the island. He even created the Santorini Archive Project. I met him in a neoclassical mansion in the highest village of Santorini, looking over the whole island.
My name is Lefteris Zorzos. I'm an archaeologist. I'm from Santorini.
Lefteris has these lively blue eyes, uncommon for a Greek. I noticed his accent and he told me he had studied in the UK before coming back to Santorini 10 years ago and getting involved in the cultural activities of the island.
So the Santorini Archive Project is basically a volunteer-based initiative that started approximately over a decade ago with basically recording specific aspects of the cultural heritage of Santorini. It originally started with like prints and maps and books, and then it developed into something more active in terms of recording the kind of memories, recording photography. We've digitized over, I can't really even say the number, but it's thousands and thousands of photographs from the 19th century. And this afterwards, kind of in the last 5 years, have taken also a more active role, that it's not just about recording, but it's actually about being more involved in the preservation of the cultural heritage of the island.
I had the chance to see some pictures gathered by the Santorini Archive Project.
That's the port. There are a lot of donkeys. That's where we live. This one's where we live.
I could recognize where many of the photos had been taken. Ia, Fira, the port. But Lefteris showed me one photo that I couldn't recognize, of an area of the island called Perissa. Me, I know Perissa as this busy place full of tourists, shops, restaurants, hotels. And it stretches for kilometers along a huge black sand beach. But in this old black and white photo, Perissa was a natural seaside coast with just a church in the middle of vineyards looking at the sea.
Up until, I would say, the 1950s, Santorini hadn't changed very much in terms of... there had been quite a bit of development, obviously, and there are specific landmark pieces in the history of it, obviously. But in terms of the society and the way people would live on the villages and the different places, it hadn't actually changed for several hundred years. So you would have the same characteristics. So in the different villages, you would have specific families that would be the more wealthy families, and then all of the other inhabitants of that village or even nearby villages would work for those people. So this was the case up until even the 1950s.
In 1956, the island was struck by a massive earthquake. It literally destroyed the island. It took people's houses down and it took people's lives away.
What the earthquake caused was, apart from very important aspect of the deaths and then the destruction of a very large percentage of the island, it also created a new beginning of sorts.
The 50s seemed to have been an important turning point for the island. I wanted to talk to someone who experienced this transition, who saw the destruction of the earthquake and this new beginning. So I met with Yorgos, who is 85 years old.
My name is Yorgos Ioannou. I was born in Santorini.
He's recognizable by his elegant blue hat and his white mustache. He's always chatting with his friends in front of the church in Vothanas village, in the center of the island.
People were hungry. We were working all day long, and the pay was very, very little. I was working in the fields, picking grapes, barley, tomatoes, anything you can imagine. Everything changed since 1956, after the earthquake. There was work finally. People started to eat to make some money. We didn't have cars in Santorini before 1956. After then, they brought one or two cars, a van and then a taxi. That's how it started. Now there are more than 10 million cars in Santorini. Wherever you go, it's unbearable.
Rising like a phoenix from rubble and ashes, Santorini was ready for a fresh start and to put on a show for the world. The island started to be a site for tourists. Planes and cruises started coming more and more, and the numbers increased every year. Between 2012 and 2019, the number of visitors in Santorini doubled, reaching more than 3 million people per year. Tourists were bringing a lot of money, and everyone wanted their part of the cake. So everybody started to build hotels and to welcome tourists all of a sudden. Lefteris witnessed the change of the landscape through the archives he's gathering, but also through his own eyes over just a few decades.
One of my interests is to find the locations where, in the photography, where you can see what was this location 100 years ago, 120 years ago, or 80 years ago. What did the landscape look like before and after the earthquake? So all of these things, I think, up until the 80s, there was change, there was development, but then after the 80s and 90s, you see this spike, and especially the last 10 years, an even bigger spike. So I think the main change that I can see with my eyes, because I only the last 10 years I can say I've been living here, although my family is originally from here, is basically this kind of development where all the way from Fira, you know, to Messaria, to Pyrgos, all of that area, which I remember seeing with my own eyes, being just covered in vineyards with very, very few buildings here and there, we're starting to see how the buildings are becoming more than the vineyards. So this is a huge change in the landscape. A lot of people usually will put personal gain above the collective, above, say, what happened in their village or on their island. But that is taking a toll, a very big toll on the island itself. But then over a period of 20 or 30 years, you have this is multiplied, and the roads and other things, you know, are not able to cope, or the space isn't there. I mean, you can see it in many of the settlements. There isn't, you know, they're not created to carry traffic. They're not created to have cars driving around them. It's become known, essentially, that Santorini is under stress, let's say, under tension because of what's going on.
Even now, the island is changing. I can hear construction from every direction outside my house. I asked some local friends how they imagine the future in Santorini, if the development continues at this pace.
You see difference in Santorini every 6 months. I mean, if you haven't been in a place for a few months and you go, you see something new. Even during the lockdown, because still going on buildings and buildings and new buildings, new hotels, new rooms, all the time.
In 50 years, I think it will be like there will be here much more hotels, and they will build everywhere that it is possible to do it, even if it's illegal or no, legal or illegal. They will build everywhere.
Every year, I think there will be more and more tourists. So we will come to a level that the island cannot accept more tourists because it's a small island.
Tourists have become the main source of income in the island. According to Santorini's Chamber of Commerce, tourism makes up 90% of the economy. So tourists are more than welcome, and everything is made to keep them happy. The thing is, now the focus on tourists has become a bit extreme. You can see that the airport arrivals, it's like a battle zone. Luxury black vans made for 8 people are stuck in traffic to take rich couples around the island the whole day. Hotel employees are running, sweating in the little white alleys to welcome the tourists and prove they deserve their 5 stars. The summer is a 7-month working season, and most workers get not one day off, not one weekend. Even national holidays don't apply here. The race for profit is ruthless. I can't help but think that while trying to sell dreams, Santorini might actually be selling herself. In the next episode, we'll ask people of the island how they deal with the presence of tourists on a daily basis. Is there even a choice for them, now that the tourism industry is what feeds the island?
Do you want to hear more podcasts that get to the bottom of things that stand out in the ambient noise? Join Europod. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and our newsletter. Follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Discover our brand new website at www.europod.eu and join us in our fight. Europod. Clear the noise. Start to listen.